Mary Tiedemann. She's a soil scientist and agroecology PhD student at Florida International here in Miami, Florida. Originally from Iowa, received her BS and MS degrees at Iowa State University, and her current research interests involve mycorrhizal tree colonization and tree root morphologies in subtropical and tropical soils. So nice to have you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I would also like to introduce my colleague Ariel Freidenreich, also a PhD student at Florida International University. And this project really addresses Ariel's interests. Clearly, mine didn't line up necessarily with our talk's title, but this is exploratory research that's helping drive her next stages of her PhD work. And so, our topic, of course, identifying ideal termination rates for cover crops in South Florida. Quick context, I love being here to represent South Florida agriculture because it is also an extremely diverse system. Down in Homestead, just southwest of Miami, we have extensively diverse systems, range of horticultural production, flowers, vegetables, as well as tropical fruit tree species. So we have everything from monocultured systems, potted systems, as well as agroforested systems. And one particular thing about these areas of Homestead is that the soils are actually man-made limestone plowed. So they're coarse, very low in organic matter, and they have their own fertility challenges and water retention challenges associated. So our research questions are focused on these non-destructive handheld sensors that might be used by land managers in South Florida to help them identify termination rates of cover crops. So the question is, these two different handheld seekers that we identified, the Green Seeker and SPAD, do their readings correlate with one another when testing cover crops for proper termination times? Secondly, do the Green Seeker and the SPAD readings correlate with actual leaf tissue nitrogen? And thirdly, can the Green Seeker and or this other sensor, the SPAD, be used to determine the most nutritive status of various cover crops in order to determine an adequate or most ideal termination period? So I won't go into details about this too much, but the Green Seeker is our first sensor. It was developed at Oklahoma State, and it measures reflectance using red and near-infrared wavelengths. This is unique to most of these handheld sensors. The standard sensors measure absorbance, whereas this measures reflectance. And it calculates the normalized difference vegetation index. And this is a great tool in terms of aerial analysis as well as on-the-ground analyses. And then we have the SPAD, or the Soil Plant Analysis Development Meter, and it was developed in Japan by Kanika Minolta Sensing. Again, like most of these sensors, this one measures absorbance of red and near-infrared wavelengths. And both of these, the important aspect here is that they both correlate with chlorophyll content, which has a relationship with total nitrogen in the biomass. So some pros and cons between the two. First and foremost, let's talk about price. If we're talking to, if the goal is to have these tools available for smallholder farmers, they're not going to be encouraged to buy very expensive equipment. So the Green Seeker is the least expensive. It's $600, around there, while the SPAD is around $2,200. Some downsides with the Green Seeker, though, is that you have to be very consistent in the methods of measuring, where it needs to be 2 feet above the biomass as well as on a horizontal plane. Otherwise, you can get variability in your readings. The SPAD, on the other hand, measures the leaf. So it's only a 2 by 3 millimeter surface area of the leaf, and you clamp down on the leaf and it will give you a reading. But so the Green Seeker allows you to cover the entire biomass of a field, whereas the SPAD is only directly taking account for leaf measurements. So our test subjects for this experiment were sun hemp, sorghum Sudan grass, and cowpea. And of course, sun hemp and cowpea are both legumes, and they were inoculated with rhizobium before planting. In our field methods, we had a standardized or randomized split plot design, and it took place on our campus of Florida International University in Miami. We have an organic garden on campus with an adjacent food forest is what we call it. So it has tropical tree species, and we put these cover crops in this limestone soil. And so the planting, so you see the sampling scheme on the right, and our planting date started July 26th of 2017. So clearly we've been cutting it close. We've been doing a lot of rapid analyses lately. And we had four sampling times combining both the sensor readings and the leaf tissue. So for every 2 weeks, starting on 8/11, we went out with the SPAD and the green seeker, and for each subplot did five random sensor readings per treatment. We also took composite leaf samples to be analyzed in the laboratory to get actual carbon nitrogen measurements. And to note, the dates that have been starred, the beginning of the experiment and the end of the experiment, we also took soil data, which unfortunately we don't have time to talk about right here. So our laboratory methods were measuring total carbon and total nitrogen percentages using Aleco carbon nitrogen analyzer, and our total phosphorus was just for soil analysis, but we measured both the total carbon and nitrogen in the soil and the total phosphorus using an AQ2 discrete analyzer.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the results that we found here. So this is a correlation table that takes into consideration all sampling times, so we didn't split it up by the time, but the most notable results here is you can see the NZBI or green seeker was highly correlated to our SPAD and also to total leaf nitrogen percentage. However, our SPAD was not correlated to the total leaf nitrogen percent there. So these are our main results, the crops compared at each time. So NDVI reading is for the green seeker, and that sensor reads from 0 to 1, 0 being not green and 1 being green, so that's the scale it's on. SPAD reads from -9.9 to 199.9, and you know, the lower end not being green and the higher end being green. And then we have our leaf tissue total nitrogen analysis from our CN, from our LECO dry combustion. So what we saw here was for time one, our first sampling period, which was 2 weeks after planting, that for our green seeker results that we saw, cowpea had the highest reading while the sun hemp and Sudan grass were significantly lower. On time two, cowpea again was the highest, Sudan grass was the lowest, and sun hemp was the middle. And then in time three, again cowpea was the highest, and sun hemp was the middle, and Sudan grass was the lowest, so similar to time two. And then at time four, the cowpea and the sun hemp were both significantly higher reading than the Sudan grass. As for the SPAD reading, the time one was similar, with the cowpea being highest and sun hemp and Sudan grass being significantly lower. That was reflected in time two as well. And time three and time four were similar in that the cowpea and sun hemp were high while the Sudan grass was low. And then we wanted to compare this to our actual leaf nitrogen results from our CN analyzer, and across all times it was consistent that the sun hemp and cowpea were significantly higher in nitrogen content than the Sudan grass that we saw. So these are just our total nitrogen and total carbon results for the specific plant, at all four sampling times. So it's consistent in all the charts that this is time one, time two, time three, time four, and this is the total nitrogen percent and total carbon percent on the side. So here we were able to see that at time two was the highest mean for total nitrogen for the sun hemp, and there was no significant difference for carbon for this cover crop. For Sudan grass, there was a big significant difference in the leaf nitrogen at the first sampling time, while it kind of tapered off and was much lower at time two, three, and four, while again there was no significant difference in the carbon. And as for the cowpea, there was no significant difference over time in both the nitrogen and the carbon. So for that crop, we'd want to focus more on seeing when is the most biomass for incorporation into the soil. So to conclude, the Green Seeker and the SPAD were highly correlated to one another based on our correlation table. The Green Seeker and the actual leaf tissue nitrogen percentage were strongly correlated at all times, and the SPAD was not correlated with the total nitrogen at all times. So we're going to go back and run the correlation at each individual time to see how that works out. The cowpea and the sun hemp leaves had significantly higher total nitrogen percentage at each time, greater than the Sudan grass. And we did have some issues with our Sudan grass. As you can see in the pictures, the top one shows an aphid infestation and the bottom one shows that we had some type of disease going on. So we did have some issues with that. So the time of the greatest total nitrogen percentage in the leaves of each cover crop were sun hemp's at 4 weeks, Sudan grass at 2 weeks, and cowpea was stable over time. So for our future work, we would like to explore the relationship between total nitrogen and the overall biomass to really figure out what is the best time for incorporation. And we would like to thank our funding sources, our NNF grant funding, and everyone at FIU, the agroecology program, our advisors, Pushpa and Dr. J, and a special thank you to our garden manager, Daniel, who's in the audience today, and Jordan Pratt, one of our undergrads, and Megan Linehan, one of our graduate students. Thank you.
Thank you.